From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, this is Brandi McDonald, entertainment writer for The Oklahoman and News OK, and I'm here with Matt Price, fellow entertainment guru, who we're going to be talking about the movies that are opening this week in Oklahoma City as part of our weekly entertainment podcast. And Matt, summer movie season kicks off big time with Claws and the whole bit.
That's right.
Wolverine. Tell us, it's X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That's right. They did not screen this here in this market right at this time. We are going to look at some of the Wire reviews. And I actually have talked to some people in the industry who have seen it as well, so I can throw out some thoughts. And I'm going to go...
Just so you could torture yourself with
being
jealous.
I'm going to go see this at the midnight tonight. So probably by the time you're hearing this, I will have seen it. But... right now, AP kind of says it's very action-y, it's very action-oriented, it's lean, mean, and not terribly interesting, is what David Germain at AP says. Hugh Jackman, who was Wolverine in the X-Men films, it's kind of his origins from a child growing, and he's older than he looks because he has that mutant healing ability that stops him from aging beyond a certain point.
He apparently goes back a few decades.
He goes back, fights in World War One, Two, etc. Always sort of with this guy Sabretooth, who we saw in the first X-Men movie, was played by Tyler Mane, a big wrestler. Here they give it to the slightly more acting-heavy Liev Schreiber. And they cross paths over the course of several years. So what I've heard from some of the people who've seen the movie say, it's not one that the people who don't like comic movies are going to like. And others have said it kind of explores some stuff that isn't the most interesting part about Wolverine. Other people have said, though, but if you want action, it's a pretty tight, slick action movie. So
let me ask you, do dudes get kicked and stuff blow up?
Exactly. I think dudes get kicked and stuff explodes. And for the ladies, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Hugh Jackman revealed in this film. So
there's a lot of his chest sort of thing. Do we get a shower sequence like we did in Australia, which was the best part?
I don't think there's exactly a shower sequence, but I do understand there's a little bit of the behind the scenes Wolverine, so to speak.
Sign me up twice. Woo!
So that's what's coming out. It's kind of a big release here. I am not sure how it's going to come out exactly. Like I said, kind of mixed reviews. Most of them are not saying it's horrible, not saying it's great. They're kind of very in the middle of the road on it. So I think at that point, it kind of depends on how much you have an affinity for that kind of material.
And tell me, are they doing something special to sort of counteract the
film? There are at least two separate endings on the film, depending on what print you go to. And I've heard rumors there could be even more than that. So kind of an after-the-scenes teaser, like in Iron Man. So stick around till the very end of the film, after the credits. There will be something else there for you. So if you're going, stick through the whole credits and you'll be rewarded.
So talk amongst yourselves until the credits are over.
That's right.
And we also should mention that George Lang, our colleague who couldn't be here today, mm-hmm. has an interview with Liev Schreiber in the We Can Look section that's coming out Friday.
And if you're really excited about Wolverine, I also talked to Steve Bloom, who voices Wolverine in Wolverine and the X-Men, that will also be in We Can Look on Friday. So you've got a heap and helping of Wolverine in this We Can Look section.
Yes.
Almost all the reviews have said, depending on no matter what score they've given it, almost all of them have said better than the last X-Men, not as good as the first two X-Men. So I think their scores just depend on how much they liked those movies.
Right.
So if you really, I think that's probably how to look at it. It's better than the last X-Men, not as good as the first two. Depending on how much that appeals to you, that'll tell you if you want to go see this.
Well, this sounds like more sort of a fun, slick, action-y comic book movie than, say, something like Dark Knight, which is almost like a crime drama, is what it sounds a little bit like.
I think there's
a lot of psychological
darkness in it. And pretty violent, but I think it is a little more just straight-up action and maybe not quite as much, epic. So
there you go. All right, well, I have the counter-programming offering for this. It's become almost like a tradition that every year, whenever they start the big summer movie season, there's a chick flick that offsets it. And this one, unless you're a chicken, you should be offended that this is put in your type of movie, chicks, out there. Because this is Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, and I'm going to be honest with you. About the best thing I can say for him is I didn't hate Matthew McConaughey as much as I normally do in this movie. So,
wow.
But it's basically like they've taken the concept of the standard romantic comedy, and I mean pretty standard. We're talking about all the... I mean, you walk in the door and you know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah. every cliche. It actually does do some laughing about the cliches a little bit in there. But it's basically sort of your standard predictable romantic comedy with a layer of a Christmas Carol laid over the top of it. So,
and it is kind of weird to have a Christmas Carol themed movie coming out in May.
Yeah. That should tell you something. but basically what happens is you've got Matthew McConaughey, who's giving his dimples a workout. Basically, he's got a winning smile and not much else going for him. And he plays that charming cad role. How many times have we seen him play that? I don't know.
Oh, he's a charming cad.
He's a charming jerk.
Interesting. So he's kind of a roguish personality.
Yes. Somebody who's skating by on charm.
So unusual for him.
So different for him, I know, and so unusual from real life. basically, he plays Connor Mead. Connor Mead is a celebrity photographer who sleeps with as many of his mostly naked models as humanly possible. And his only commitment is to his no-strings-attached commitment to sex. But when his brother decides to get married, Connor returns to his boyhood home for the ceremony, and he's reunited with his childhood sweetheart, Jenny, who's played by Jennifer Garner, who's slightly better, but, you know, she's not given a whole lot to work with here. And she has developed a hard-earned resistance to his charisma. They have history, people. And Connor's pretty much a wedding disaster. He just openly despises the institution at the rehearsal dinner. He hits on the mother of the bride. Who's divorced, fortunately. He reveals an absolutely totally predictable, unsurprising secret. You already know what it is that could derail the marriage. But the night before the wedding, Connor is visited by the ghost of his late Uncle Wayne, who's Michael Douglas, who's probably the best part of the whole thing. He's sort of channeling Hollywood producer Robert Evans with the big glasses and the slick suits and, mm-hmm. you know, the ladies on every arm. And he's sort of a legendary ladies man who taught Connor all his own. And Uncle Wayne tells Connor he will get a visit from three ghosts throughout the evening who will take him on a lesson-imparting journey through his past, present, and future relationship disasters in the effort to teach him the error of his ways. But basically, then you get visits like his first conquest was 16-year-old Allison, who's Emma Stone. She's pretty funny in it. She flashes him back to his childhood days where, you know, missteps with Jenny and his personal tragedy and his teachings from Uncle Wayne sort of put him on this path. And then, you know, he's visited by the president, who's his assistant, Melanie, who's played by Noreen DeWolf. She's the only stable relationship with a woman he has, so she gets stuck being the ghost of Christmas present. And then a future specter who's silent but beautiful reveals the inevitable consequences of Connor's loose lifestyle. So basically, if you've seen A Christmas Carol and you've seen a romantic comedy, there's not much here for you.
Stick them in a blender.
Yep.
There you go.
Hit puree, and you know what's going to happen. So a few bright moments. Emma Stone's funny. Michael Douglas, I think, is always good, and he has a lot of fun with the role. Jennifer Garner and Matthew McConaughey have kind of a friendly chemistry in it, but as a couple, you don't really buy it. And I actually attended the junket for this and saw them at a press conference, and they really did seem genuinely like friends. I mean, laughing, talking, joking, having a good time, talking about their kids, but they really don't seem to be...
Don't have the romantic spark.
But I do have a feature with Matthew McConaughey in Friday's Weekend Look
Friday's
section.
Weekend Look is jam-packed.
It's action-packed, people.
There's a ton of stuff in there.
Ton of stuff in there, but he talks about George Strait, Carrie Underwood, and the movie. So, ooh, there you go.
Okay, well, let's kick it one time here with Battle for Terra, which has a James Garner performance. He mm-hmm. recorded this animated performance. It's a 3D animated movie that is, according to Roger Moore of the Orlando Sentinel, a war movie grafted on to an anti-war message.
Okay.
They say it's naive but ambitious. So Earth has been destroyed by pollution. The humans are out scouting a planet that might be suitable to adjust its atmosphere and let humans live there. But if they do that, it will destroy the planet they found, destroy the life that's already there. So there's a general who's determined to, just go ahead and make that happen. Anyway, so that's kind of where it is. Do we destroy this planet? Can we live in peace? How can we do it? And there's apparently some action along the way. So they say it's visually okay, but his review of it is it's not dark enough for older fans and is too message-centric for kids. So kind of a mixed review there on Battle for Terra.
Yeah, and I don't remember who that's by, but it's not like a Pixar film or a DreamWorks, so it's probably from one of the smaller animation studios. I don't think it's 20th Century Fox either. I think their big summer release is Ice Age 3. But I'm not sure who does that, but it's one of the smaller animation studios that every once in a while they crop up in here and put out films. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're okay. This one sounds more like eh.
Kind of in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it hasn't come highly recommended, at least by Roger Moore. So, Okay. Don't know what else to tell
and
you
then
on that.
Our wrap up here, we've got a little, some documentary action.
We have some documentary action going on at the Oklahoma City Museum of Art. This is really interesting. Visual Acoustics, The Modernism of Julia Shulman. This movie is playing this weekend through Sunday at the Oklahoma City Museum of Art. And it goes along with the new exhibit that's opening there, Julia Shulman, Oklahoma Modernism Rediscovered. Shulman is 98 years old now, but he basically sort of created the whole, almost created the field of architectural photography. And he was pretty well known for shooting particularly modernism, mid-century modernism buildings, a lot in California, particularly in Los Angeles, kind of got involved early on with some of the architects that were spearheading the mid-century modernist movement, and then sort of went all over the world with it. And there, the documentary kind of takes Shulman through his young years where he sort of had an interest in photography and sort of a chance meeting with Richard Neutra, who was a very famous sort of spearheaded the modernist movement, and then sort of takes him through his career shooting them. And he worked with many great architects, including Frank Lloyd Wright and Peter Koenig and all that kind of thing. So it's really interesting. Eric Bricker, who's the director, really puts the photos front and center, and they're really, really striking photos if you've ever seen them, and I hope you do, because there's a lot of them over at the museum right now. But the they put those photographs front and center and really let those kind of lead the way. Shulman himself is in the movie a lot. I mean, they do a lot of interviews with him, taking back to places that he shot and let him look back on them and things like that, reacquaint him with people that he may have met or their families along the way. And he's got a lot of personality. He's a really great personality. It's narrated by Dustin Hoffman. He's pretty warm with his narration, occasionally witty. So his narration is good. There also is, the film briefly covers his photography of what's known as the Prairie Chicken House in Norman, a modernist building that was built by architect Herb Green. And those photos are in the exhibit. So it really is a pretty strong documentary. I gave it 3 stars. There's a little bit of some sort of ill-advised animation sequences that really don't do much for it. But there's a lot of great interviews with, like, Tom Ford and the actress Kelly Lynch and Oklahoma bred artist Ed Ruscha. I mean, so there's a lot of people talking about his work, but mostly really what's incredible about it is the photos. And if you're planning on going to see that exhibition, which I've seen and really recommend, it's a good accompaniment to that and a good documentary.
All right. Sounds like our strongest review of the week there.
Yeah, it's actually really, really good if you're into the documentaries, particularly if you're into photography.
All right, very good. So summer movie season has officially kicked off.
Exactly, it has. So, and we have, we should mention that you and George and I toiled long and hard on the complete lineup of the summer films to Oklahoma City this year. There may be some date changes here and there, but we have got a lot of great films on that list.
Where
new
can
Harry
you find
Potter.
It?
Weekend Look section. Right. Well, duh. Harry Potter movie. We've got Terminator movie. We've got Wolverine. We've got Transformers. We've got all kinds.
Yeah, Joe, it's jam-packed.
It's jam-packed, people. So
And pick it up.
Pick it up.
Cut
it out,
we can
tape
look.
It to your refrigerator.
Yes.
You'll need your refrigerator too long. So, and keep it there so you can go check out what's coming this summer. So, well, I guess that's it, right?
That's it for
us. We've done our shameless plug.
That's right.
And we've told you what's coming this weekend. So you know what your options are. And for Matthew Price, I'm Brandy McDonald. Thanks for listening.